I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Waypoint UK podcast. This is episode 14 and coming to you live at the end of June 2017, which gives us all a good chance to reflect on what the year has offered so far, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a whole bunch of slightly better than adequate video games. Some have even been quite good. Of course, I'm not going to sit here and talk about these games alone. That would be boring for everybody involved. So I've invited a couple of guests on, as always. So please welcome Sam Loveridge.
Hello. Thanks for having
Colin
me.
And Colin Mahan.
Hi.
Colin Mahan, for the first time.
Yes.
Hopefully I'm saying your name right. I've listened to it enough times.
Give it to me one more time.
Colin.
Column, yeah.
Good
show. Yeah, there. Some people try and swallow their own tongue when they pronounce it. So I'm well impressed with your pronunciation.
Going to avoid that as best I can. So Column's on for the first time. Sam, a third time
I
guest.
You must like me or something.
I do like having you on. It's fun. You know about video games, which
sometimes
makes me look
yeah.
better. Because I really, I mean, I do.
Yeah, of
if my employers are listening to this, I absolutely do know about video games.
Some would say you are the authority.
I just basically
you are
look
the
and
Mike
see
Diver.
What Tom Phillips has written on Eurogamer.
Yeah,
it's
reworded.
Not just Tom, other people on you, I mean, and other websites.
We all are available.
Yeah.
Videogamer.com. Anyway, why don't you guys quickly, for the listeners, introduce yourselves. Sam, where are you at? What are you doing?
I'm the gaming editor at Fandom. Hit us up. Yeah, there's like wikis and stuff.
Oh,
and
I
then
see. I thought you were like, I thought it was just like some kind of weird like Tinder thing going on over.
Oh, well,
a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, hit me
whatever.
Up, yo. Swipe right. Do you swipe
please
right?
Please do.
Which way? Swipe. Which one's right?
Right is the
good one.
Right is the good one. Right is right. Exactly. Yeah. Left is bad.
Left behind.
Left is excellent.
You should work for marketing and Tinder or something.
So when it came to like, you know, junior school football team selection, I was a left swipe.
Right.
Yeah, aww. For the longest time.
That's a shame.
Until other people just got bored and found girlfriends and stuff. And then they needed people to play. Anyway, Colm, you're from... I gave it away then slightly.
You
video
did,
gamer.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah, I'm from videogamer.com. You can read and listen and watch me on there. And
watch you?
He sings and everything.
You do.
I sing.
Oh, crikey.
Every now and again I do. Yeah, I'm holding the mic here and I feel like I could burst into song at any stage.
Rap.
If you
do
there, I mean, Vice does have a record label. That's worth bearing in mind.
Well, this is
however,
why I'm here.
This is where he gets discovered, guys.
This is not the place. In the shadow of Viceland, as we are recording in now, this is not necessarily a place for rehearsal. We might annoy some people. They're making TV.
Okay, right.
It's like old media, but it's new media. It's very strange here at Vice.
It's exciting.
We have television. We understand television. We love television. Yet we also accept television as a dying medium in some ways. You know, with our on-demandness of the current modern world that we all like. But I mean, you know, if you have Sky TV in the UK, and let's be honest, who of us doesn't?
Of course.
I don't have it.
No.
You
I'm not rich, God.
No, I know.
Far too expensive, yeah.
We work in video games, Sam. Come on. But yeah, let's talk about some games of the year so far. I wrote down here, what's your take on pineapple on pizza? I'm going to ask you that anyway. You've been talking about pizza before you came in. Pineapple on pizza, yes, no, Sam Loveridge?
Absolutely, yes.
Colin Mahan.
Yeah, 100%
okay,
fine.
That's good. Okay,
yeah, fine. I don't understand the hit.
Boom. Yeah. My favourite flavour is just mushroom and pineapple.
Mushroom?
Simple.
Get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ.
Just mushroom and pineapple?
Yeah, that's it. It's simple.
That feels like
it's
needs something... I always think pineapple's good, but it needs something salty with it, hence the ham and the ham and pineapple. Mm.
Don't do hams, so...
You're a vegetarian.
Yeah, I'm a pescatarian, technically.
Oh, well, you could put some cod
Anchovy?
Anchovy. Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually had an anchovy on a pizza. I don't think I've ever had an anchovy.
It just looks like a small salty brown lump.
Yeah, it's quite tasty, but it's too much for the pineapple, you see.
It could overpower it, couldn't it? Anyway, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is where I want to start because, frankly, and it's a bit unfair to everything that comes after this on the podcast. And we're going to try and rattle through some stuff. I don't want to be talking about any one particular game for more than about 5 minutes. But Breath of the Wild is, I doubt anything's going to dislodge it from my kind of game of the year equation. I'll just say that right now.
Even with Super Mario Odyssey?
Even Super Mario Odyssey. Ooh. I don't think it'll have the same freedom that this Zelda offers, which is just kind of like, yo, here's the game. What do you want to do? Like, Mario games are not that. You know, the world is
I suppose it's technically open world, but it's going to be like pockets of open world connected by
it's
a spaceship
thing. It's going
to be hubs, right?
Exactly, yeah. You're going to fly around. But yeah, I mean, Zelda for me is just... I went into it with the very sharpest skepticism because I'm an annoying British person and that's what we carry with us at all times. You know, if you say it's good, clearly it's not very good. I know about video games, you know, kind of vibe. And I remember sitting there for like the first proper session I had with it and just being enamored from the outset. And I heard all the complaints about, oh, the weapons break and it's too hard. And boo fucking who. Just get better at the game, you losers. I mean, like, I was absolutely fine. I don't think I died
just
until
deal with it.
One of the divine beast bosses. It was the water one, and as soon as I worked it out, I was like, well, that's fine, and I thrashed him. But yeah, I mean,
casual brag, humble brag.
Basically just walk around the map, get really strong, and then go back and fight them all later when you've got the Master Sword already. Like, I got the Master Sword once I realized that there was a Master Sword in the game. I was like, right, that's what I'm going for. So I went to get that, then I cleared all the bosses out in about 3 or 4 hits or something.
For me, it's not even about like the bosses and the story. And I love all the capture memory.
The
They're my best bits.
The story is incredibly
amazing.
Small for like a 100-hour, 120-hour game, right?
It's like, all I want to do is faff, find some food, make some stuff, have a nice little pony trot around and just experience
little
Hyrule.
Pony trot.
Yeah,
have you got the big horse?
No, I haven't got big horse.
Oh, get the big horse.
I've got my original steed. Nah, I've been very loyal to him.
Very loyal.
And he is a big horse. I called mine Toby.
Toby?
Toby the large horse. There's a side mission at some point where someone's like, we've seen a big horse somewhere. You find, I think it's in, no spoilers. I know you've only just started the game, Colm, so I don't want to spoil
There's a
anything.
Big horse, apparently.
There's a big horse in the game. And it is
fuck's
a
sake, Mike, what are you
like, Link gets on this horse and it's like I don't know.
Does he look really tiny, like a little
Pinky
ant?
The brain on the back of Garfield or something, like completely ridiculous looking. And but this horse is so big, it just like mashes enemies. You just run into a gaggle of bokoblins. I think that's a collective noun for bokoblins, but I might be wrong. A gaggle. Probably a murder.
Isn't that a school?
A school of bokoblins. I like that.
I like
school
the word
of Bizarros, or whatever they're called. Yeah, and he just mashes them up. But, you know, I love Zelda. Colm, in your experiences so far of this new Zelda that you've only just started, how
Yeah, I've only just started. I'm about, 4 hours in, give or take.
So you've got them. You've done those early shrines.
Yes.
And you've met the old dude who's been like, Why are you taking my stick?
Save the princess. Yeah.
And why are you stealing my food and sitting in my fire, you weirdo?
Yeah, exactly.
It's mine now.
And I won't lie, I'm waiting for that life-affirming moment. Mm. Now, it hasn't come yet. I'm open to it. Like,
I don't think it's a moment. I think it's the gradual
build-up,
which might be a kind of interactive Stockholm syndrome. I'm not really sure. But I think it just... It just builds and builds and builds, and then you find yourself with 3 or 4 different strands to follow. But unlike certain other games, it doesn't like really press home the message that you really must do this. Like,
yeah.
There are moments of like drama in there, in little cutscenes and stuff, when some of the characters talk. But really, it's just like, yo, you're Link, do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was like that moment where you just get your little glider thing and jumped off the Great Plain, and you just suddenly saw the vastness of Hyrule, and it was
the giant
like,
is a big thing.
Okay, this is bigger than I thought it was going to be, and it's bloody beautiful. So enjoy.
I said before we came on, I'm like deadly envious of anyone who's starting this game now, because I know that I can't put it into the bottle again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like The Witcher before it. Like, my wife said to me a while ago, when I was playing, I started playing Breath of the Wild again with the DLC forthcoming. I was like, I want to just get familiarized again with the controls. So I'd kind of put it down for a few weeks. I did Ganon. I kind of did about 100 hours. And I put in probably about another 20 or so hours since. I found some places that I'd never even found before on the map. Like, why? How did I not go there? Like, it's clearly there. There's clearly, here is a big patch of something on the map, but at no point of the game have I gone there.
I love that about
it. So I just went there. Yeah. And it was like, again, I don't want to spoil anything. There was just this whole other amazing thing there that's not part of the story. It's like, oh, hey, you found this. By the way, this is going to take you another 40 minutes or something. And it's amazing.
But like, were you ever, either of you ever overawed? Like, I don't, as you said at the start, Mike, we won't make it a Zelda podcast. But like,
we could though.
Oh, I could.
Were you ever just, overwhelmed by the breadth of Breath of the Wild? Good. It was good. No,
it was good. Like I don't think so. It never feels as, I mean, the scale of it is awesome, but it's very empty. Like it's not. When I say to my wife, it's like the Ghibli Witcher. It's like the Ghibli Witcher with a load of filler taken out. Not that the Witcher was full of filler, Witcher 3, that is. It just felt like every time you got on your horse in the Witcher 3, you'd end up seeing something. You end up doing something. You run into someone who needed your help. Zelda, you could roam around for half an hour and not see anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like kill a few lizards and stuff, but really the game just leaves you to your own devices. It's very rare that anyone kind of seems to be put in your path. And I quite like that. You kind of have to go looking for the adventure if you want it. It doesn't land on your doorstep. Obviously, if you find... The map is great. I was skeptical of the map.
Ubisoft's tower.
Well, I was just... Well. Obviously, it's got towers in it, but also the way it fills up and where you know... If you go, because I was playing it like a lot of us were at the same kind of time as Horizon Zero Dawn, and that map fills in as you explore. Like, I've been there, I know what's there, I can come back to it.
Yeah.
Zelda doesn't. Like, you don't unlock any of the map for fast traveling until you've actually been there and you've been up a tower and, oh, here's the area. But what that does is, it doesn't give you markers, but it obviously shows you the terrain, like the topographical layout, and you just look at it and go, like, there's something in that little nook. I'm sure there is.
What the hell's that wiggle down in that left-hand corner? Right? Like, why I have to go that? There now.
It looks like a really angular structure there. Like, I found something just by looking at the mountains and there was this weird triangular thing. And you get there and it's like, oh, dude. And of course, it's all part of a side quest or something. I've just gone straight there. Like, it also understands that, like, if you just find something, when you find the person who's got that quest, you don't have to go and find it again. It's like, yo, I've already been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and here's a thing that you can
your
have
map
it.
Just like, ends up littered with icons and little symbols that you've left behind being like, there's a cool thing here.
Yeah, mine quickly became full of like, you know, little treasure chests I think they got for anything that was shiny or things or like the fairy fountains and stuff. Like, oh, this is 10,000 rupees to unlock. Fuck you, fairy. I come back to you when
I got
I'm rich.
Two.
Like
bye.
The 10,000 rupee fairy fountain. Like, and she's in the desert, man. She's having a laugh. Spoiler, small spoiler. Like, if you're looking for your last fairy fountain and you haven't been to the bottom, the southwest of the map, just go there. There's a side quest that actually takes you there anyway. But there you go. You don't have to go there. It's on the map. You can look in the southwest of the map, and there's a big thing, the obvious thing. You're like, why wouldn't you want to go check that out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's quite clearly a thing. But anyway. As with all things, I mean, I've written down in my notes like what every game got like for its Metacritic average, and Breath of the Wild is 97 out of it. Like,
and everyone got so angry that it wasn't 99 or whatever, right?
Yeah, people got a bit angsty about it. It was really funny. I was looking at some of the Metacritic user comments. People was like, you know, saying worst Zelda ever, 0, and I'm just like, really? Is that like a deliberate troll thing? Like, because I'm playing this, and I haven't played every Zelda ever. But I played a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, it doesn't...
It's a next level, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is. It's next level Zelda. And I'm so pleased that Nintendo, as they've done with a few games, like, you know, Splatoon being their multiplayer shooter, you know, they've looked at open world games,
comments,
you know, related it back to their new Zelda and gone, right, okay, what can we do here? Like, we've got Skyrim, we've got these other games. I mean, they're kind of cool. Let's just make much better version of that. And that's what they did. They've just come out and gone, by the way, we're the daddies of this. Like, don't fuck with us. We're Nintendo. I know we had those few years there where you were like, ha, 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 Nintendo's rubbish. Wii U. Wii Poo, more like. You know.
Very good, Mike. Well done. Hey, enjoyed it, Jeff.
I'm improvising for children. This is a children's show.
Oh, my
show.
God.
But yeah, they just come back and smashed open world. I can't wait to see, like, you know, like you mentioned the Mario thing. I can't wait to see what next level Mario is and stuff.
And the Switch is just brilliant as well.
Oh, the Switch as a platform. In terms of hardware coming out this year, I know the Xbox One X is a thing that people are looking forward to.
And struggling to see as well.
It's a fiddly one, isn't it?
Oh, it's so silly.
Christmas time. So, little Jimmy, what do you want? Xbox One X. Oh, yeah, well, good. We've got you this. Xbox One S.
Yeah.
No, Dad, I said that. Shut up. Fucking play your console.
Yep.
It's the same, but missing the big thing.
I love the Switch. And I'll tell you what, let's talk about another Switch game real quick then. Because like, before you two came on, I obviously asked you for suggestions. And Sam, you mentioned ARMS.
I love ARMS.
So tell us a bit about ARMS. I've been playing ARMS. Have you been playing ARMS as well?
I reviewed ARMS.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay. Yeah,
we're all
What'd you give it?
I gave ARMS a 5 out of 10.
Oh, probably not amongst your favorite games of the year so far.
Why didn't you like it? I know, middle of the scale.
I think it's okay.
That's good. I like how a 5 should be a bang in the middle. Yeah. If you've got a Switch and you want a fighting game, get ARMS. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know. But I mean, you like it a bit more than.
I gave it an 8 out of 10, so I'm a little bit further up the old likable scale.
I like ARMS a lot.
What score would you give him, Mike?
if we awarded scores, it would probably be, and bear in mind, I'm a bit like video games policy. I'd probably go with a 7.
Right.
At
the moment, which says it's really, really good and a lot of fun. But as time has shown, since it came out, I haven't gone back to it a great deal, and I haven't put much time into online play at all. I know people who have, and they've kind of had a few grievances with some of how it's been performing. But as a solo mode and having fun locally, like thrashing your arms around, like, I mean, you need two sets of Joy-Cons, which is
expensive.
Which is expensive. But if you can do that, it's great. And I love the other modes in it. Like Hoops is my favorite.
Oh my God, Hoops is amazing.
It's like, just make that game. Nintendo, just like, I don't need
slamming
ARMS
another
to,
person
just,
into can, a basketball yeah. hoop is like the best feeling like, in the
why
world.
Why didn't video gaming get to this point before? It has there been a game before ARMS where the object of the scoring points in basketball is to put the other player through the hoop?
I think that's great.
Just
did NBA some, Jam not have a more? Well, I feel like it probably like, would have.
You know, Jordan versus Bird. Sorry, Larry. Just like slams him.
Slam dunk the funk.
And there you go. Showing your age a bit there, Sam.
Yeah, sorry.
But, but I mean, what does it about ARMS for you then, Sam? If someone's got a Switch right now, they've got Zelda and they're loving Zelda and they're looking at what else is available, which is, you know, sparse, but it's coming together pretty well slowly for the Switch. You know, ARMS is a
I don't know whether I recommend it as like the second game you buy on Switch, though. That's the problem.
No, you know,
the third.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. After Mario Kart, yeah. Mario Kart,
which I've put down as a kind of honorary mention here, because it is great, but it isn't.
But it is
game.
An old game.
It's old but new. But yeah, I like ARMS. It's any form of cheap exercise to me is fantastic. If it so means I don't have to move out of my house.
It is Fox-a-size the game, right? When played with motion controls. I mean, have you played it much without the motion controls?
No, not at all.
Because I have. And I prefer that way of playing.
Really?
That's my kind of main method of playing it as well, yeah.
What?
Because I find playing just as a normal controller, and I don't think either of them are flawless.
Yeah.
Like, when you play with a controller, you can't really curl your punches and move at the same time.
I find dodging a lot easier and blocking a lot easier with the controller.
Yes.
Do you find that as well?
Yeah, because because blocking with the, I was going to call it Wiimotes, what are they called?
Joy-Cons.
Sexy.
Like blocking is you kind of turn them into you, isn't it?
Mm. And
you
move by... I don't know why we're all doing hand actions that none of you can see.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's perfect for the audio medium. But I find it a bit finicky as well. But yeah, you play generally with motion controls.
Yeah, I just feel like it's a game that rewards perseverance. And like the more you get to grip with the way that the Joy-Con controllers move, like the better you are at the game. Mm-hmm. And like we had a tournament thing at work where we just played like all day, which was very stressful.
I mean, local multiplayer with the motion controls is how it should be played like that. Absolutely.
But I've been playing with my mates online as well. And like what really dampens it is the fact that you can't chat to them yet. Like using the actual Switch and stuff, which really actually ruins.
Mm-hmm. And they've got a system for Splatoon 2, which is not ideal.
Well, that headset that's going into your phone into the Switch. Oh God, it's a lot of wires.
As much as Nintendo are doing things with hardware right now that I'm loving with the Switch, and even like their micro console things at the moment with the NES Mini last year and of course the SNES Mini now.
Which is already sold out.
Which I pre-ordered one and I've never done that before. And I feel so bad.
Smug.
But that's a conversation for another time maybe. I don't feel bad. I'm going to get fucking Secret of Mana again.
And
Secret of Mana, if you never played it, is one of the greatest games of all time. Anyway, ARMS is good. We like ARMS. Night in the Woods is a game that I have not played at all. I've read a lot about. We covered it on Waypoint. Fairly, I hesitate to say extensively, but you know, there's a fair few different takes on it on the website. You two both put this down as one of your favorite games. Mm-hmm. So one of you, please tell me about Night in the Woods and why anyone should love Night in the Woods.
I suppose focusing on the mundanity of life basically. Which
is so true.
Because it's this girl who comes back from college to her hometown where the familiar isn't really familiar to her anymore. The tone has kind of changed, hasn't it?
And but she's a cat.
But she's a cat, exactly.
I just want to get that in.
Everyone else had a weird like, animal.
She's
like
a cat. Her best
things.
Friend is a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, there's
or a fox.
Yeah,
this is chaos.
It's a weird game.
It is very strange, but it really conveys its message so well and kind of realizes these characters so well that, like, the fact that, what's her name? May is the main character. Mm-hmm. The fact that she's a cat is kind of irrelevant, really.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter what they are or anything. It's just, when also she's got this dark past that, like, slowly unravels mm-hmm. and stuff. And some of the weirdest mini games, like, you have a knife yes, fight where you've yeah. got to poke each other in the knuckles until you bleed. And it's
that
just.
That sounds it's quite dark. Yeah.
It is quite dark. But
I suppose when you look at any cat, in real life, you know they've seen some shit, right?
Yeah,
they've got the eyes.
You look at a cat, and it's like, "Where have you been all night?" Oh, don't even tell me about that.
You don't need to know.
I see the
they've been on a night
claws.
In the woods.
you've been doing that, like, what's it called? Like five finger fillet? Is it? Is that what
oh, with the knives? With the knives? Yeah. Oh, terrifying.
Bishop in Aliens. I nearly said Alien.
But I don't know. It's I really enjoyed the kind of. The adventures that her and her best friend would kind of go on that would just be like uninteresting, really. Mm. But I suppose easily relatable.
And like, what kind of game is it for people who haven't seen it? I mean, it's kind of like a conversational adventure game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, you're not.
It's very hard to slap a genre on it, actually. No, definitely yeah. no bosses. Like half point and click, half. Mm.
It is a hard game to kind of pin down. Yeah, it's just kind of adventure game, but
touches of Telltale sort of conversation stuff.
Yeah, is there like options for dialogue?
Yeah, I don't know how much it affects like the actual story or anything, but it makes you feel like, you know, you can mold May a bit as a character as you play, and you do kind of fall in love with them a little mm-hmm. bit because they are.
I think the main arc is. It's a little bit weak towards the end. The kind of, I won't go into it because it is me. It is a purely story-based game. I think that kind of falters a little bit towards the end. But like as an entire package, it's really, really good.
Mm. That's PC and PlayStation, not Xbox, I don't think. But I did very well. So. I did have a few people tweet in their favourites and someone called, I'm going to use their handle, Millie... Gribben.
Vanilli.
Gribben.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Millie, if I've got that wrong. She says, you know, favourite of 2017, so warm and full of heart. So that's a
warm.
Nice recommendation there. Full of heart, which is presumably bleeding everywhere.
Violence and blood.
It sounds good. I mean, that, again, scored very well as well. I missed out, actually. BitSocket, who are previous guests, they did tweet in about Zelda and just said it's the greatest game ever made. Breath of the Wild, so everything else doesn't count. So, well done.
End this podcast right here.
End the podcast right now. But I mean, from one game that's quite hard to pin down to What Remains of Edith Finch, which is totally one of my favorite games.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Of the year so far. We had a little interview, or we've got a little interview soon, either soon or it might be up by the time you hear this. It might be coming with Ian Dallas, who's the creative director. And he sort of says that, you know, the whole game is about exploring spaces that you just don't understand. And that's very much about a game where someone is coming back to somewhere they know. So mm-hmm. it's a bit like May and Night in the Woods, but like everything is unknown as well. It's like this house, but there's loads of stuff locked away and you kind of gradually explore this house as Edith. But it's again, you can't say too much because of spoilers. It's a game, very interesting, I think.
And a difficult game to
talk about
without actually spoiling anything. But I personally like the way that it kind of plays with conventions that genre has kind of set. Like, I really enjoyed Gone Home. I really enjoyed Firewatch. I like those types of games. But I feel with Edith Finch, the kind of... like, a lot of those games... will aim to make you cry, make you feel like David Cage emotion, like will kind of like feel emotion, cry about
you will cry.
Yeah, whereas
imagine a David Cage take on Firewatch. Fucking nightmare. Oh my God. That would have been. Yeah.
Everything's on fire all the time.
You know, a bit in Firewatch, you're like, is there some supernatural shit happening there? If it was David Cage, it'd been like, boom, fucking zombies out the ground or robots out the woods.
Fuck subtlety. You know. but it is like, there are parts where, like, again, I won't go into it, but the baby part.
Like, I love that bit.
Exactly.
How can you love that bit?
Well, see that, when you're in the bath, it's just
those
nice,
are the two right reactions, because those are the reactions I have as well. It's so joyous and so fucking dark.
And the music.
So dark.
Oh my God.
That bit with the baby, I just...
I suppose that's you as a parent as well.
I just went away from the room.
Like, really heavy stuff.
So I just had to walk away and come back to it later. I think I like stopped and I did like have... I just had a break. And I had dinner and I went back when the kids were in bed. I was like, oh my God, I can't.
It's a very powerful game.
It's, yeah. So, right, I mean,
even if it's not,
to not
realistic.
Spoil anything, like, you are seeing, effectively, you're seeing stories of other members of Edith Finch's family that are all rendered in totally different mechanical ways. Like, every, so like, it looks like you're just walking around a house, like Gone Home, for instance, like you said, but then it will cut to kind of a first person, like, almost like a fighting game. There's a bit with the crutch.
Oh yeah,
the comic book bit.
Oh Jesus, the comic book bit. And I forgot about that.
Obviously, there's the weird, like doing two things. Like
the guy with the fish factory,
where you're doing two things at once. Oh, so you're using two things. So that's like the brothers kind of like trying to separate your brain in two. You're seeing a lot of stuff that's kind of a bit like games you've played before. And then there's like these tiny bits that you don't really do much at all, like the bit on the swing.
Yes,
the bit with the kite. And you're just like, they last minute, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But they're like, dude, what? That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the kite bit, not so much, to be fair. The swing bit, definitely. It's just a game where every new scene that came up seemed to be more, like just more fascinating than the last one for the most part. Like, I'm having a conversation with other people at Waypoint, like, oh, I'm up to this bit. It's pretty good so far, isn't it? I'm like, you know nothing. Like, you're up to that. Like, have you seen the fish yet? What fish? Like,
yeah.
You haven't seen
leave
the fish.
It, leave like, it had the ability to like constantly surprise me. Yeah. What, like when I would finish one, I would try and guess like what is the next one going to be? And it would always kind of throw a curveball. Just that was so well crafted. And actually Giant Sparrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought the unfinished one was good. I thought it was very good, actually. I thought that got a bit of a bad rap.
Out of the water.
Yeah, I actually went back to Unfinished Swan after Edith Finch. I played it only last summer, I think, Unfinished Swan. And I thought, yeah, don't know. And I went back again because there's an Easter egg. There's a very big Unfinished Swan Easter egg in Edith Finch, and with the same kind of musical refrain going on and stuff. And I must admit, when I played it again, like that game gets quite dark, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like Unfinished Swan, like towards the end, and it gets like not scary, but like, you know, you're like, oh,
unsettling.
Not sure about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. So there's definitely something about that studio to get under your skin.
Yeah,
but like Sam says, like I don't. If it feels like Unfinished Swan is like just testing the water for what Edith Finch was, you know, like because even Unfinished Swan kind of changes what it is between each level. Well, it does switch up a bit, doesn't it? Like you're coloring stuff in, and then you're not, and there's the bit where, oh God, you get to the bit where you have to like do geometry basically and like make platforms.
That's right. Yep.
You're asking a lot of me here.
Remember that. Jesus. That was exactly right. It sounds like this isn't fun anymore, guys. But Edith Finch was like, well, it wasn't meant to be fun, but it was, you know, it didn't ever make it
it's
hard
definitely
for
like
you to get there.
One sitting like emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Sunday long, afternoon. Is it? Like 3 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, give or take.
I mean,
and every kind of sequence, I suppose, like they feel interactive. You feel like you are actually having, because sometimes these games can feel a bit passive and that you might as well just be watching an episode of Orange is New Black on Netflix or something like that. But yeah, they each thing, like even the fish one, like as you said, trying to kind of half your brain in the brothers style. It's really just interesting kind of ways of messing with the genre.
Yeah. I mean, when I wrote about it, I was like Danielle Riendu wrote about it for Waypoint and saying like, oh, it's like this kind of like set of short films, almost like a short film festival. And I totally get that. And I wrote about it from the perspective of like kind of like what you're saying, like the mechanics of it, the how you interact with it is so integral to the story. Like it feels more important because of what you're doing with the pad and what mm-hmm. you're doing. Like the swing, for instance, that could just be like yep. nothing, but you're you know, pushing right back and like as if you're swinging your legs. And it's a really simple motion, but it just puts you on the spot a lot more. And again,
you
with
feel
the,
very involved
with the fish. And, nice. Yeah, yeah. It's that involvement which just adds to the immersion. And I think Giant Sparrow did a great job. And I mean, that would be almost up there with Zelda for me in terms of what I'm going to take away at the end of this year. And what if someone said to me like, oh, what should I play that's new? That. Go and play that. Like if you've
got
100
hours, I feel
like it
hasn't got enough recognition as well. Like I've spoken to so many people yeah. about it, and they've been like, "Oh no, I haven't even heard of it."
I think people maybe got the gist that it was like, I hate the term, but you know, that was like a walking simulator thing.
Yeah, which gets such a bad rep.
I'm sorry for going there, but you know, it like it's a you know, because Rapture kind of split people, right? And I yep. think ever since everybody's gone to the Rapture, people have been kind of like in two minds about that stuff. Like people who loved that game or fucking hated it. And I kind of fall, well, I'm more towards the love side of it. I found that game really unsettling and spooky and weird. It was like, you know, almost Doctor Who-y in a way, like a good Doctor Who episode.
or like a premonition.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Good. But yeah, I agree. Edith Finch, definitely something people should check out. Completely different kettle of fish altogether. Although, weirdly, to both games do have fish quite prominently.
Where are you going?
Nier Automata.
If you
get Ending K, Ending K is the fish ending. Have we got Ending K?
I haven't played it.
Oh, you haven't played it. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
You should.
You chose it, Colin, yeah. as one of yours. And I must admit, despite my constant nagging at the back of my brain to say, look, just fucking get on with it, I haven't found time to get back on with it. And when it came out, I loved it. And I will totally get back to this game.
I'm amazed with its staying power, to be honest, because it came out at a time when Zelda was out.
It was the week after
Horizon.
Zelda, yeah.
Well?
Yeah, Horizon was around, out. Yeah. Like it came out at the most inopportune time for us. Effectively, I mean, it's not a new IP, but like, who gives a shit about the original Nier?
Kind of is. Yeah, it's got obviously so much more recognition than the original Nier did.
Yeah.
And Drakengard, I mean, forget about it over here. Right? Like, I mean, well, you don't know about Drakengard, or you don't know about the story that even leads into shut up, right? This has got fucking androids on the moon or in a satellite on the moon, and they're fucking killing other androids. And by the way, she's barely got any clothes on. That's the selling point, right?
100%.
I love that you're just like, yes, it is.
I know the kind of people that
yeah, exactly.
playing this game.
But again, like Nier Automata kind of plays with the established conventions of the genre as well. Like these...
Like, what kind of genre is it? We should probably say it's like action RPG, basically. Yeah.
More action kind of. Than RPG.
Well, it's platinum made, so yeah. You know. So if you, yeah, like, I guess it's like Bayonetta light, yes. mechanically on top of a square RPG framework.
Perfect. Yeah, go. Like it could, because RPG, yeah. yes, gameplay wise, Bayonetta is a better action game, but that's not to disregard Nier Automata. Like it is a terrific action game where like I feel like you can go into it and just button mash the shit out of it and you will still get a level of enjoyment out of it as someone who is trying to play it quote unquote properly.
They have a mode in it where you can kind of not mess around with the hard fights at all.
Yes.
I haven't turned it on. I have no idea what it works like, but I remember seeing the game a preview and they're like, oh, there is an easy mode, but we're not going to tell you about it yet. And apparently it's just like, it basically makes all the fights pointless. I think you just gotta like press a button, he's dead. Yeah. If you just like the story, basically.
Yeah. And like there is a story. It's absolutely mental. But
it's a story on top of a story on top of a story, right? As well, like, because you play the same story a few times.
Well, it's kind of shtick is that I remember the first, I was playing it for three or four hours. And basically I had to go to a certain area to meet a character. I went the wrong way by mistake. And then I think the screen faded to black. And then a little dialogue box came up, said like, oh, what's her name? 2B. 2B left the place, never to return, whatever. Da, da, da. I was like, what? What?
And that's an ending. Yeah.
And that was an ending. I was
oh my
like,
God.
Okay.
There's 20, 26 endings, I think. One for every letter of the alphabet.
Oh my God.
Exactly, yeah.
What ending was that?
I can't remember, but it was so
ending S for C.
Goodbye.
It was so kind of. I suppose it showed me what this game is capable of, and the idea that you can, like, I think there is a metagame to trying to get all of the endings of the game and trying to figure out how you can basically learn the whole alphabet.
Like you can't really explore.
It's got quite a large explorable space, but there are
side missions.
Like, go here. There are side missions, but they don't repeat, do they? Like if you do most of the side missions under your first playthrough and you come back to the second playthrough as, spoilers, but as someone else, the side missions are dealt with. Like, because there's three playable characters in the end, aren't there? Like, I know 2B's kind of like the face of it, but, you only have to look at the box art. There's 1, 2, 3 people on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're not even people, but,
I mean, they're robots, but for some reason they look like humans.
They look weigh a lot more than people, though. Someone pointed out the stats. Like, if you were really into those characters and wanted to imagine yourself with them, you'd break every bone in your body if you put 2B on top. Mm. But
cosplay. Like, we've
spoken to Yoko Taro a few times as well, who's the designer of it on Waypoint. We've had two interviews with him, and he says some stuff about it. What's he said? Like, he's intrigued by the mysteriousness of humans. And he also said, I often think about how you can't find the reason to live if there's nothing you can believe in. And I believe that we are blind to what we believe in. She's getting quite philosophical.
Is he okay?
Very deep.
While also using massive swords and robots. Mm-hmm. But he is obviously he rocks up to interviews in his big head.
Yeah.
Kind of mask helmet thing. I mean, this game is probably the most visibility he's ever had, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is great for him, I think. And it's good games as well, because it shows we know there are for want of a better expression, these kind of maverick, kind of auteur-like people out there in games. But I guess that doesn't get reflected in what's on sale at Game or in HMV or wherever, like the biggest Assassin's Creed.
They have no idea. Like your average person walking into the shop has no idea who Hideo Kojima is.
Well, just Kojima, maybe.
They have no idea where any of their games are made most of the time.
Yeah, he'd be pushed. Like, if you think about who amongst game developers could be on the cover of a games magazine? Like, two people.
Silence.
Like, Kojima and Miyamoto, right?
Yeah.
Probably. Mm. And even that would be a push. Miyamoto was on the cover of Edge, I think, a couple of years ago. That's the last time I remember a face that wasn't a game being on the cover of a magazine. I hope the games like this, because it sold pretty well, I think.
It was over a million.
Yeah, I think it's done all right, and I think that's really good for... I think obviously it's good for Platinum in a year where they've lost Scalebound, which they were making for Xbox, to have something here. And I don't know what else they've got on the cards right now. Platinum. They were kind of teasing. Obviously, they've put out Bayonetta and Vanquish on PC.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Bayonetta come back at some point.
I think they've said they're thinking about it, apparently.
It seems silly to sit on what's quite obviously your best-known action brand at a time where people are going, please... Platinum, we like that. Give us that. Less Star Fox, more lady whose hair is her outfit.
Yeah.
Star Fox, I know some people really love that Star Fox game, but that's obviously not this year. Little Nightmares, Sam.
Oh my gosh.
Moving on.
Oh my gosh.
Little Nightmares is a game that I tried to get into and really crashed off of quite hard. I didn't get into it. Yeah, I just found the kind of the layout of the levels of the kind of little platforms and the areas you could walk on really annoying. For the controls, it wasn't just a simple left, right. You had to watch out, you're running and jumping and missing. And it's just I can't be fucking arsed with this anymore. But you're talking about games that come out at a bad time. That's at the end of April. So there's
another one that got lost. Then.
Yeah, maybe a little bit lost in the mix. Why is Little Nightmares on your list of things you really like? Tell us a little bit about that.
I love games like Inside Limbo, and it's got that same sort of tense... slightly terrifying atmosphere. I mean, I played it in the office with headphones on. People kept making me jump, which didn't really help. Because it's got this amazing, creepy, twisted nursery rhyme soundtrack, which just really drills into your core sort of childhood and mixes stuff up. Well, yeah, but all of the nose. Oh my God. It just takes everything that you loved about your childhood and twists it. I didn't realize that I had anything to do with fear of leeches until I played this game.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And now I'm terrified of them.
Yeah.
I saw Stand By Me at a young age, so I'm not a major fan of leeches.
Got Pat, yeah. I mean, I'm so old that, you know, when I got ill, they just put them on you.
No, no, you're not.
You know, go down to GP. I've got a headache, doctor. Yeah. Just bend that. Just yeah. Just part your forehead
and yeah. Suck some, your brain out.
Put some leeches on that. You'll be absolutely fine. Broken my arm, doctor. We'll deal with that swelling. No worries.
It's also a game that's like full of surprises as well. Like, you have no idea where the narrative is going. You don't know what this little.
I mean, mechanically,
girl...
it's like a dark puzzle platform. Yeah, you know, yeah, a la Limbo, a la
side scrolly type stuff. But it's the story. Like, in terms of gameplay, it's not innovating in any way or form. You're not going to be like, oh, this is amazing. Like, they're doing so much with the. I don't know, controls and shit.
Yeah.
But it is
controls
about
and shit.
Controls and shit. I know.
The controls
I do games.
And shit meeting in Little Nightmares development.
Guys, we gotta sort out this controls and shit.
Pretty brief. What do these buttons do? Well, that one grabs shit, that one jumps, brilliant, that'll work.
Yeah. Like it's work. Yeah. It's the same old stuff, but it's just the way that the story really fucks you up.
And you can't talk too much about the story, obviously, because spoilers. But I mean I've seen the monstrous people who are in it. It's got some great animation in it as well, I must say. Like, some of the stuff I've seen, like, watching ahead, as we all do, I'm sure. Like, even though I fell off that game, I'm like, I'm still curious about it. So I've watched some stuff. I'm like, dude, that looks amazing.
It just gets so weird.
Some of it looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Really dark kind of Tim Burton-y kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, but like
on,
times
like,
a million in terms of like fear
stuff.
Factor. Yeah.
I found out today... belatedly, because this was announced a few weeks ago, that someone's going to make a TV show out of it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Completely missed that.
Yeah, me too.
Because we knew about The Witcher, right? Netflix, Witcher and stuff. But apparently, I haven't written down the studio or anything, but this game, Little Nightmares, which again, reviewed quite well. It's got an 84 out of 100 for Xbox. There are some negative reviews in there. But yeah, apparently someone wants to make a TV show out of it. So... there you go. Just double up on that.
Oh my God, yeah. Just scar myself for life.
Something slightly sweeter maybe that I haven't played because I haven't an Android phone user. Monument Valley 2.
Yeah, I did. This is one I've been meaning to play ever since it was like surprised. Dreamcast announced. Was Dreamcast or Saturn? I'm mixing up my...
They just dropped it. Hey, this is out.
Which one was that? Was it Saturn or Dreamcast? Well, yeah, that kind of like, it's out now. When they did that on, was it the Apple keynote or something like that?
Like, yeah, just totally surprise announcement, which was frustrating. So I was like, oh my God, I have to play it as soon as possible.
Yeah. See, I wanted to do that. And then I've still got an old iPad, but it's really full. And I was like, it's probably not going to run very well.
You can delete things,
I've got like an iPad too.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I don't think it'll even work on that.
Right. 1986. You know, I can barely run Twitter on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I try and
you can forget about emails.
Check my mentions and it says... no. So I haven't done it yet. But I mean, I loved the original Monument Valley. It's made by us two, who are actually based really, really close to where the Vice office is, just over the road, really. So I've been in there a few times. I've spoken to them for various pieces. I think I did a piece like kind of deconstructing the first game, or like kind of, you know, after the event, like looking back on it for Kotaku a few years ago. Because the original Monument Valley is actually a few years ago now, isn't it? 2014 maybe?
Yeah, 2015, 14?
I don't think I was full-time here then. But they, you know, won BAFTA and stuff, won an Apple Design Award. So
it
what,
is beautiful.
Like, it was gorgeous, obviously architectural kind of puzzle game. We're moving stuff around. It's very...
M.C. Escher painting.
Yeah, really, really nice to just exist in. Like my oldest son, who obviously wasn't that old when that game came out, he adored it, just like messing around with it. He wouldn't call it Monument Valley. He just called it Ida and the Crows.
There's
a very smallest story in that, you know, that you are Ida the princess, blah, blah, blah. And when you finish that game, all the crows change color and they all fly away. That's the first one anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying anything there. What's this second one about in loose terms? Because it's...
yeah, it's much more about the story in this one. Yeah, like, it's still very much the same gameplay. There are some slight tweaks and the way that the levels evolve slightly differently. So there are some gameplay surprises, but it's just, again, like Little Nightmares, I'm a sucker for a story. But this one's about, like, a mother and a daughter and about, like, the struggles of parenthood and the relationship between mother and daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So it's quite deep. And this is one moment where you're playing as a little girl and it's raining and there's this beautiful piano music. I just sat there in my room going, oh gosh, I don't even have a child. And I'm like feeling really emotional.
You don't have
really,
a child, but I was a child once.
Kind of emotion was that? Was that like a protectiveness of that child, or was it like a broodiness, or what was
yeah,
it?
I think it was just like a
everything.
Like, you know, when you're a kid and you suddenly feel like, oh, I'm really small and everybody else really big and they know what they're doing and you just feel really alone.
Every
maybe,
day.
Yeah, still to this day.
Walk around.
I'm tall now, but it was just that. But like obviously with the pathetic fallacy and false force and just the music swelling and like, I mean, the Monument Valley soundtrack from the original is like lovely, my go-to calming atmospheric
It's like Minecraft music for me, right? I need something to just exist around me as I concentrate on something else. But that's actually really nice. And if I tune into it, I like it still, not just some fucking pointless
lift music.
Yeah, yeah, not some music. Like so much ambient music, quote unquote, is bullshit.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, in terms of games that got it right, Monument Valley definitely. It's very great.
Yeah, Monument Valley 2 is even better. But I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but like, don't be put off by the £5 price tag. It's absolutely worth it.
That in itself is a kind of argument or like an obstacle.
A premium product.
I just don't understand. Like when the App Store launched, stuff cost that much money.
Yeah.
Like but stuff was $4.99, $5.99.
But over the years, people have learned that it's either free or at a push, it's 99p. Right, like that's kind of, that's the threshold, which is wrong. Of course it's wrong because the original...
$4.99 doesn't get you a pint around the corner from
exactly.
It.
The original Monument Valley was about that when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah,
give or take?
Four, exactly. And it's like, you go to the cinema and you get 2 hours for like, what, 15 quid nowadays if you live in London?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of money.
And this is £5 for 2 hours of pure bliss.
There you go.
And
it rewards you. Stick that on the box. It doesn't have a box, but you know.
Stick it on the
reviews app, page thing. Yeah.
The reviews page. Is it coming to other things? Like
I think it's a timed exclusive.
Android,
But obviously Apple are like mine for now.
Oh, of course. And you know, they are the big dogs, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
I think they suffered very badly from piracy on Android with the original Monument Valley. So they're probably trying to reap back some money from this
one. You do hear a lot of mobile developers saying that though, that on Android, like it's either they don't release on Android or when they do, they have the knowledge that it's going to be pirated based.
So they're you know, maximizing their profitability by going iOS first, I suppose.
Yeah.
Trying to
good for them. They deserve to make more games, so give them some money.
Oh, Monument Valley is beautiful. And I even like Dust 2's little VR game.
I haven't played that.
Land's End, I think it was called. Yeah. I might be mixing that up. But a little VR puzzle game. I think it was for a Samsung Galaxy, possibly.
I haven't played it.
Focused, aren't they? I went into the office to play it. I haven't got the compatible thing, but that was good. Imagine us going into offices to play video games.
Crazy.
Who knew that was bad?
Never do
job.
That.
Colm, tell me about Prey, because talking about games that I crashed against and didn't go back to, Prey was one of them. You hate Prey.
I really don't like it.
That's strong. So this is the Arcane remake, reboot, reimagining.
The reimagining
of Prey that came out in May the 5th, again, reviewed pretty strongly. I probably played about 8 hours of it across previews and then getting it home. And I just think, I've done all this before. It doesn't feel exciting. What kept you engaged?
The fact that I had to review it. But as well as that, it did
something must have resonated.
It did engage me. Like I'm a big fan of tension in games, not so much like jump scares and horror games. Like horror games don't really interest me, but just the mimic, I think, in Prey is one of the best baddies in a long time. And yes, I know it is the facehugger, 100%.
But the facehugger, if the facehugger could also transform into a desk tidy.
Exactly.
And makes you distrust everything you ever see.
A shoehorn. Oh, imagine that. You're just getting out of your space suit.
Boom.
Morgan. Oh, you had a nice day, Morgan. That's pretty. I've been on my feet all day. Let me just ease that off. Oh, my God.
And there's actually, your shoe is actually a mimic as well. You've been there all day.
Everything. Your friend turns into a mimic. It's that kind of like, I never lost that tension. I always went into a room fucking shitting a brick something was going to jump in my face.
When I played it with headphones, the sound design in it is pretty good because it's always like making you go like, what the hell was that? Like there's a clanging, there's just these scrapes and kind of nastiness around you kind of all the time.
It is that kind of scraping, screeching sound that you hear when a mimic jumps out. But even when I talk about tension, because the game is trying to tell you that everything is a mimic. Sometimes you mightn't see one for 10, 15 minutes and it's just, but still so on edge and so kind of freaked out. Like I just really enjoyed the openness of it as well. Like I know, as you say, Mike, we have seen it with Arkane's previous games, Dishonored, things like that. Like, here is your goal, get to it however you want.
Yeah.
Basically. It resonated with me. I was quite
impressed how it made recycling fun for like the first time.
Yeah,
ever.
Recycling part of it I thought was quite good. Yeah, like why am I picking up this used cigar, this banana skin, this lemon peel? Oh, because I can
I'm gonna make glue
from my glue gun, which is great. Actually, which is the
glue,
like,
exactly, the glue gun is fantastic.
It's a very good like weapon.
A weapon that also aids you in traversal, in kind of puzzle solving. Yeah.
Let you make snowmans out of dead bodies and stuff.
Defensive barriers.
Did you not get really annoyed by the amount of key codes and key passes and emails you had to go through to get anywhere, though?
Yeah, that's something that bugged me, actually, just how much of that game was buried in fucking
Oh, you made it here. Now you have to go all the way back again.
Well, it was just like all the stuff like I'm kind of into that kind of alternate history kind of vibe stuff that's got going on. I do quite like that. I like Wolfenstein right now. I'm loving the New Order, playing that through before the new Colossus comes out. And like Prey hints at that so much at the start, and there are bits of it that get that, but there's so much buried in the emails and
a lot
logs
of the JFK stuff.
Yeah.
Like you could play that game and not be aware of it all.
What the purpose of it was until the very end, and then it's like, ha ha.
Yeah.
I mean, no spoilers, but I know people who were pissed off about the end of that game.
And it, again, which seems to be a common thread in the games that I'm talking about, I feel that it does fall away a little bit towards the end and a tad long in the tooth.
It takes so long to get going as well. I'm just like, I just want to find out what happened with the U family. Can't I just get into that bit now? I just felt like there's a lot of side content actually keeping you from actually just finding out the story.
See, I really enjoyed the opening section. Like that's what really grabbed me because I was like, this is fucking Bioshock in space, basically.
It's almost like that was on a poster over here.
Almost.
Which it was. Which I thought was really like reductive, if that's the right word. Like, here is a new game, by the way. It's just like this other game you loved.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, imagine like the next GTA coming out with like, it's a bit like, you know, it's like Watch Dogs. It's like Watch Dogs, but better.
I made Baroxa, like,
it's crazy. But like, I mean, on topic of like the Bioshock thing, obviously it's made by Arkane. They kind of see it as a spiritual sequel to the System Shock game.
Yes.
And I totally get that. So why is this Prey? And why isn't it like
System Shock?
System Shock 3
or
whatever. Is it because like the
Nobody
publisher,
knows.
I guess, has... It's Bethesda, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it Bethesda? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Has the rights to Prey, which I know has been kicking around for a while. There was a Prey 2 that didn't happen.
Is it kind of like
someone somewhere had an idea on the go and it's like, that could be Prey. Like, you wonder how these things come together. Like, we'll call it Prey. It'll be fine. Did Prey have these mimic things? But shut up. Like, it's Prey. But it's kind of like this system. Shut the fuck up, Arkane, and make our game. Or you can't make any more Dishonored. Fair enough.
It is a strange one. Why didn't they just, I don't know, call it, just give it a new name, make it a new series.
I mean, it's not anything like the original Prey, really, is it? Apart from the fact it had guns that point forward. And that's about the reality. Because that first Prey was thing. Weird.
See, I never played the first Prey.
Mystical stuff. But Prey, quite divisive then, actually. Prey, not really. Again, scored highly. Injustice 2 scored highly as well. And I'll skip on this one really quickly. Obviously, Injustice 2 is the follow-up to the first Injustice, was Gods Among Us.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think. So it's like, again, kind of alternate history, but alternate fictional history of DC characters. Superman's a baddie, but he's not really, but he kind of is. He's killed someone. Spoilers.
But do you really care? You just want to fight each other, right?
And basically, it's superheroes fighting superheroes.
And it's good looking.
But it looks great.
Oh, it looks great.
It falls so pretty.
Into the category that I'm enjoying right now. And I think Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is going to do this as well, of like just fucking batshit fighting game stories. Like Injustice 2, I'm just playing it away just going, this is mad. and I don't even know who half these people are, and I'm like looking them up and I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. Wait, shouldn't he be on his side? Doesn't matter. And it's quite, I find it quite easy to get into, actually.
Yeah,
like, as a fighting game. Like, I'm useless at it. I wouldn't go online. I'd be destroyed, but It's quite fun.
I think it welcomes non-fighting game players into the fold, really, with this kind of batshit story. Fighting games, no. Like NetherRealm have set a precedent. And I suppose, what's the name? Tekken people. Have set a precedent that like every fighting game, you need a story, no. Right. You need a batshit insane story. It can't just be Ryu flies to Brazil to face Blanka and then so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Like there needs to be some more.
Tickets? Like the original Street Fighter
flight tickets?
You know,
Ryanair, I don't know, they might have got him on the cheap.
Who's putting him up? Does Ryu, is he like travel lodge level or is he like
Airbnb? Where? I don't know.
He's the secret travel journalist. He's getting everything for free.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah. Fighting on the side.
He's like pulling out articles and City AM and shortlist. He's that guy, isn't he? He's that guy. We all know a guy like that, right?
Well, yeah,
we all know people who get those sweet, sweet trips. There's a guy in this office who did a trip a little while ago. I was like, oh, was that work or pleasure? He's like, well, you know, free, some writing paid for it. I was like, you little shit. I need to get some of those gigs, I tell you. But
Jeremy Watson.
Yeah. I think it's an accessible fighting game at a time where I think if it was just like, you know, here is DC characters and it's in a fighting game, that wouldn't do it for me. But here's DC characters in a fighting game. Oh, and by the way, like there's this mad story going on and you're gonna have Wonder Woman and Batman and Superman and The Flash and even those guys you don't like so much, they're going to be badass. Like Green Lantern in this game is quite badass. You know,
and it's really accessible as well. Like we play it in the office most lunchtimes. It's just like, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad at fighting games. Just
you can make them do some cool shit.
Without
much prior knowledge of fighting games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of the moves, like, you know, some of the moves you pull off in it are very Street Fighter-y, very like kind of hold back charge, kind of sweep around moves. And that's fine. We all kind of grew up with that. So we kind of know that's going to do something.
Yeah.
But also, I think the putting a little move list on the pause menu is such a simple, small touch, but it really helps.
And a lot of the moves are kind of transferable between characters as well. You know that if you do that one, that's a range attack, and it will probably be a range attack for someone else as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think, is it Supergirl or Superman? One of them's got like this awesome move where you disappear off the screen and come back the other side.
Supergirl.
Or something. I'm like, that move, man, just spam that. That's gonna mess someone up.
I really annoy them as well. Just stop it.
Yeah. Well, you just do it a couple of times, like ha ha, and then of course they beat your ass down. But I did enjoy that. Back to open worlds and back to Column.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna throw Horizon Zero Dawn at you, which at Bullaros, person on Twitter, just wrote it's the best open world game I've played. Doesn't mention whether that's this year or ever. It does have a good open world in Guerrilla Games' PS4 exclusive Horizon Zero Dawn.
The official title.
The official title. Horizon Zero Dawn, no comma. No, sorry, colon. It definitely doesn't have a comma either.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn. You say it without taking a breath, without
just
a pause.
Keep on going.
Horizon Zero Dawn. But then surely the second Horizon Zero Dawn.
They've got the expansion, haven't they? Horizon Zero Dawn, colon, the frozen what something?
Yeah.
North Wastes?
I'm under the impression that the series will be Horizon and Zero, like the Zero Dawn part will change to
Zero.
And then it needed a colon the whole time.
Zero Sun Up. Horizon, shut the fuck up.
Zero Dusk. Late, we should go home. Like,
Horizon. Getting a bit late now. Might just turn in. I mean, a lot of people did put the colon in, it just infuriated me to hell because I'm that guy on Twitter. Like, for fuck's sake, if you're on like
I saw your tweets.
Massive website,
very cross. Mike.
This happened again yesterday, or like by the time people hear this, a few days after we record it. Star Fox is two words. When you're writing about the Star Mini, Star Fox is two words. Now I understand the confusion. Star Wing, as it came out in the UK, is one word. Nintendo. Fucking with us on this. I can't abide that kind of sloppiness.
He's a fox in the stars.
In games journalism. It's all about sloppiness in games journalism.
People spelled Gorilla wrong too, right? So
yeah?
People spelled Gorilla Games wrong too.
They
right?
did. They Everyone did. Spelled Gorilla Games Tata. Wrong.
18 R's and 4 L's and just madness.
I'm sure one of them was definitely me at one point.
But I think
there's some letters in there.
Gorilla did Killzone, the Killzone series before this, right? Hadn't done an open world RPG, like, you know, it is the action RPGs. It's Witcher, right? It's Witcher. Yep. Very, very Witcher. I mean, it was totally scratching that itch for me. And I'm about 30 odd hours into Horizon. I've been enjoying those hours. I haven't finished it yet.
So good.
But I will go back
like,
into
I don't think it's of Witcher level whatsoever, but it is I still very much enjoyed it. Like the part of Horizon Zero Dawn that I really enjoyed was the coming across a big, massive fuck off robot,
like and a thunder thing, whatever they call it,
Thunderjaw. Yeah. And trying to take it down
with bow and arrows.
Yes, exactly. Shooting off its little canisters and like trying to dodge roll out of the way.
Strategic dismemberment. That is good.
Yes,
like that's very binary domain or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and not being afraid to run
space.
Away.
Dead space. Yeah. and Aloy as a character as well, I think, is very appealing.
Yeah.
Like getting to know more about her story, the people around her. I can take him or leave him, to be honest.
Yeah, much of a muchness. I agree with that. I mean, I think Aloy's a very strong, like, mm-hmm. new IP front person, I suppose.
Yes,
And woo female lead.
Female lead. And a female lead who isn't like, I watched Wonder Woman recently, right? Like Wonder Woman, the movie should be a film about Wonder Woman, but she was still like,
help me, please.
There was still a man playing the hero, at one point.
Don't even get me started on that film.
Really? Why is that? Oh, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, in Horizon, it is very much like, you are a badass and you can do things on your own terms. And she just shoots people down the whole time. Like, depending on, I know you can make the choices. Like,
I was mega sassy.
I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, look at me, look at you. Also, she's like, 16 or 17
in
this
exactly.
game?
Yeah, exactly.
You pervy old dude.
She was a little baby at the beginning and like, she's always going to be a little,
Exactly. But I enjoyed the moment-to-moment stuff in that game is great. And obviously it looks beautiful. I mean, it's very much a showcase for the PS Pro.
Mm-hmm.
PS4 Pro.
Hair effects.
Lovely hair.
We were talking about towers earlier in Zelda. The towers in Horizon potentially the best towers in any video game ever.
There's not many of them.
There's four or five or something?
I think there's four, yeah. Maybe
climbing those giraffe things as
well. Yeah, it's just climbing massive giraffes. It's climbing mobile towers. Really clever.
Yeah. And
with just that tiniest little bit like the Zelda towers, that tiniest little bit of like, the puzzle element to it, like how do I get onto this thing, looking around the landscape, okay, that rock will get me that far, but then where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
And of course all the time there's like these crocodile ones there and stuff as well, like okay, so I've got to creep around, try not to piss them off, and like just learning that map, learning that world is really almost up there with Zelda in terms of like just getting the lay of the land and the variety across that map. And again, it's a game with a really good map screen. Like, I love the detail on that map where you can kind of gaze into it once you part the fog and go, there's got to be something there.
Mm-hmm. If you think this is their first open world game, the second one's going to be amazing.
I know, if this is Guerrilla kind of like finding its feet in this genre, then I think they've done spectacularly well. And funnily enough, we talked about ARMS earlier on, which is only out like last week or week before. Horizon Zero Dawn was on sale that week and it outsold ARMS.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So like as the older game, like, so people are still coming to Horizon now. Like it wasn't like, it was down to like £30. It wasn't like some massive fire sale or something. I think that'll keep finding people across the year and
and
done.
And it's kind of Sony's big game for the rest of this year in terms of the DLC.
Listening to something.
Well, Uncharted, I suppose.
Uncharted is
which is another kind of a DLC though.
What someone described it as expandalone to me recently.
I like that.
And that's kind of, is that what Frozen Wastes is as well? Is that kind of a separate thing?
It's connected to the story, I think.
I thought that that was DLC, though. Frozen.
Oh, I think it's DLC, but I don't know whether it connects to the story.
Right, yeah.
The Uncharted Lost Legacy is technically, it's like a Left Behind thing, isn't it?
Where
it's part of the Uncharted thing, but it's essentially Uncharted 4 DLC, isn't it? But it's its own game.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to own
like
Uncharted 4 either.
Chapters maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of is a good parallel there, but I don't know what Sony's really got in terms of big first party stuff this year. They're still like obviously betting the farm on God of War and Days Gone, which I don't think looks that amazing. I can't stop looking at Days Gone and just waiting for them to say, by the way, it's Last of Us world. Like it's in the same world. Like once they do that,
just
I mean,
zoom
like,
out and Joel and Ellie are in the corner.
Like,
yeah.
Hi guys. Like,
and I was there was some kind of Twitter thread going recently and I posted that up and people were like, well yeah, if you look at what the developers' history are. Where is that being made? Like Bend, who
did Uncharted Golden Abyss?
Yeah, there's some kind of like, because Uncharted and the Last of Us worlds kind of cross over a bit. There's Easter eggs in those, isn't there?
Well, it's just like the Sons of Anarchy crossed with The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That is that game.
Yeah.
And it looks all right.
I hope there's something more to that game that I haven't seen yet.
Deacon St. John? Whatever you say that.
Yeah. Is it Deacon St. John, because Deacon John was the Queen bassist. So he just had a little saint.
Cheeky little saint, yeah.
No, we've got to be careful here, guys, yeah. Old rock music will come for us. We like to Horizon. Colm, you have to tell me about Detention, because this came out at the start of the year.
Yep.
This is probably the last one we'll focus on in detail. Tell me about Detention. What the hell is Detention?
Detention is a horror game where you play as two school kids, and their school basically just goes to shit, and you have to try and figure out why. And
is this some kind of like comment on the next 5 years of Tory government?
What it is. Yeah, they were well ahead of the curve.
It's like Japanese or something.
I think it's Taiwanese, and it kind of pulls on old Taiwanese kind of stories and things like that. And it's what I would equate it to is, do you remember Lone Survivor at all? Which was a game.
Yeah, vaguely.
That was the pixely one, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Proper like, pixely 2D horror game.
Like surgical masks, and you have to go out and find stuff.
Exactly. And, yeah. Which on the surface didn't look scary. Yeah. But again, it was the sound design and the scrawling and the creepiness of it all that was actually quite unsettling. And that's what Detention is. It has this art style that's kind of, I don't know, really. It's not pixelated, but it's kind of drawn.
Okay. Like, it's got like kind of hand-drawn feel.
Yeah. Which again is like, you come across these very, I suppose they're almost comical, these kind of baddies, which will kill you. But it's, but in the moment, funny. They're not. But in the moment, they're not. In the moment, they are quite scary and quite, it's when you put everything together, like the screen will kind of flash a little bit and you'll get the kind of sound and the scrawling and things like that. And it's basically, it's all set in this school where you have to kind of open doors and solve this puzzle and that puzzle. And it's never overly taxing. It doesn't, like, it's not going to really test your brain power, which I think is for, I think that's actually the better way to go for something like this, because I think sometimes horror games can they can lose their impact when they become a little bit too tough. Like for me, PT is an example of that, where, do you remember the eye bit in PT? I couldn't fucking figure that out. Do you remember? But there was a part basically in PT where the room went all red and you had to do something. And I was like, this isn't scary anymore. I was shitting myself a while ago. No, I'm not. Detention kind of doesn't really fall into that, because it isn't. It's never overly difficult. It frightened the living shit out of me. Like, it really did. Like, it was probably about,
I really don't want to play it.
It was probably about 3 hours long, and it probably took me 3 or 4 days. Like, I couldn't continue playing it. I'm just remembering this now. Really scared me.
You do look genuinely terrified still.
Your body is visibly tense.
Yeah. it was just a game that kind of came out. There was zero fanfare. And
it's start of the year as well, so there's not a lot around.
I have to say,
right?
I haven't even heard about it. So,
that's what we're here. That's what we're here for. So.
It really, like, again, towards the end, it's fine. It loses its luster a little bit towards the end. There's some really creepy, really unsettling things in this game. Like, in the same way that the mimics will jump out at you, which will then have you on edge for 10 minutes, expecting everything else to jump out at you. Detention will do similar. It will put in one jump scare to kind of have you on edge. And, I don't know, nothing might happen for the next half an hour. But when you open every single door, you're freaking out.
Oh my God. It's really, sounds horrendous.
I mean, it sounds good. Sounds good.
It's really good.
I'm terrible with horror games.
Like, yeah, me too.
So, I am too, but it's, I'm terrible with a an Outlast. Mm. This was constant, like, always kind of jump scares. Yeah. But when it's kind of...
I'm not so fast about jump scares, but it's the tension thing. Like, right, that's why Alien Isolation did for me. I couldn't go all the way through it. Oh, I was just like, I can't. I know it's there.
And it's coming for you.
I'm done. And PT was kind of the same. I never worked out the end of PT, even though there's a ton of guides about it. I'm like, no. Like,
I just saw that weird thing in the sink and I was like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah,
like,
the funniest thing was when I...
weird Jesus thing.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, nope, I'm not,
gave
this is not for me.
Gave the controller to my wife for PT and it's like, what do I do here then? I'm just have a mooch about the house. Oh, I've gone around once. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then like, what's her name? Just showed up. And I, you know, you see like people jump genuinely. Like, the pad just went like 4 feet into the air. I was like,
slow-mo.
Shit. Like, yeah. Grab that. She's like, why did you do that for? Why didn't you tell me? I was like, well, I didn't know when she was going to arrive. Like, you know, I had no idea when she was going to, what triggers it? Like, you know, sorry. On my list as well. But yeah, detention sounds like something people should check out. Is that, that's just PC though, I think.
Yes.
Nothing on console or anything, yeah. Yeah, I also had like Resident Evil 7 written down here. Resident Evil 7, sorry. I know some people don't like when it's abbreviated to Resident. which obviously is something you could play all the way through in VR. Did any of us try playing the whole thing in VR?
I played some of it in VR. It was very good.
I played
good.
Some of it in VR.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think it's a good sign that, you know, devs can make a whole, like a longish, it's about 10 hours.
Sony were surprised about how successful it was. So yeah, it's definitely a good sign
it's
for
good,
VR to come,
good
which
model
seems to have dwindled
VR
lately.
Plan, yeah. That's only succeeded in VR where I don't think Farpoint really did so much. A bit more rote that, but never mind. Rhyme, which I wasn't really into.
Like,
you loved it. Nah,
it actually made me cry.
It's a tribute act, isn't it?
What?
It's a tribute act, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. I found it like so...
You loved it. But yeah. I totally get a lot of the appeal. It looks lovely and it's got a beautiful aesthetic and the music's very nice.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just... By the end, I was just like, right, yeah. I mean, I did kind of get a whiff of that. Like, but you get to like about... Because it's basically five stages, right?
Yeah.
So from the fourth stage onwards, you're like, right, I've got this. Mm-hmm. I've got this metaphor sussed. And then it like just puts it so on the nose at the end. I'm like, that's just, it's so
blunt.
Did you get it?
I actually had tears down my face.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I think I'm somewhere between the two of you. I liked it.
I didn't dislike it.
Like, especially...
It wasn't what I was hoping. I played it at Rezzed. And a little preview of it read. So I was like, I really like this, guys. And I was talking to one of the guys from Tequila Works. Obviously, they make it in Madrid. I was like, I really like this. It's really good. Like, I'm really excited about this. And I played the whole thing. I was like, I'm not excited about it.
Little fox friend.
Yeah, but as soon as you see them, that, you're like, yeah, you're not making it the distance, are you?
spoiler.
Oh, come on. We're used to this guy.
I don't care, but people get so angry about it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But yeah, that bit of a mixed reception. Again, the Metacritic is quite high. And another game that got a bit of a mixed reception was Thimbleweed Park. I really liked it, but I like, you know, Ron Gilbert stuff.
Mm.
Nice to see him back. They just added, in fact, apparently people got stuck with it. I guess people who didn't, because it's a point and click kind of mystery, kind of puzzle game.
Yeah.
And people were getting a bit annoyed and they didn't know what to do next. So they've added a hint line, which I love. And so what they've done is like, there are phones in Thimbleweed in the setting. So like, if you want a tip of what to do, you've got to phone a number.
Fuck,
old
in the
school.
Game. So it's like a hint line.
That's
in
amazing.
The game, which is fantastic. I really like that way it's implemented. So it's not like you press a button and like, oh, yo, this is what you do. Like, you know,
you ring someone.
You know, you don't spend like X amount of coins on getting a tip. It's just like you have to walk to a phone or find a phone and ring the hotline, which is so old school. Because of course, Monkey Island and stuff used to have that. And so I really like that.
Those.
But I thought there was like a kind of an easy mode.
There is an easy mode as well, which I haven't played it on that mode. I played it on the... I like what
the grown-up one.
What the people said, like, well, I played Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion, and never played Full Throttle actually. Grim Fandango and stuff like that. Then
Grim Fandango,
Monkey Island. So I thought I'd have a fair. Mm-hmm. Crack at it. I haven't actually finished it, but I really, really like it. And it's one of those games that, like, if it wasn't on my Xbox and I could take it with me, like on the movie, it was on a Switch or on a Vita, I would be playing that.
Right, yeah.
I'd have finished that twice over by
is
now.
Is it coming out on Switch?
I have no idea if it's coming to anything else.
Dear Mr. Developer.
Dear.
Can we have it,
Terrible Toy Box, that's the name of their
that's
company.
The one.
I would love it if it was, I mean, the Vita is dead, unfortunately, but it's such a good It would be such a cool Vita game.
I want everything on the Switch now, though. That's just what my life has become.
Fair, to be fair, the Switch would probably be a more financially sensible move. It depends where Nintendo are quite good with indies right now as well, so you never know.
Well, they call them Nindies. Really annoys me.
And you might have noticed we haven't talked at all. We mentioned Mario Kart 8, but like Mario Kart 8, Shovel Knight is obviously on Switch, which is great. Thumper on Switch is great. Bayonetta Vanquish on PC is great. Yakuza 0 came out. That's amazing.
Persona 5.
Persona 5. That's amazing. But they're not games of this year. I know,
I'm a stickler for that too. I'm a stickler for like, no, this came out before.
Persona 5 and Yakuza 0, you could argue, because like, that's their first Western releases. And by all means, you can tweet us and tell us we're dickheads. But basically, I've only got so much time. Mm-hmm. And also, Yakuza 0 and Persona 5 are games I've put at least 20 hours each into, but don't feel confident about really talking much about.
They're like 100 plus because jobbies, aren't they?
And I like Persona 4, one of my favorite games. Like, really, really enjoyed it. Persona 5, really, really enjoying it. But just stuff gets in the way. Mm-hmm. And Yakuza 0 as well. Beautiful game. So much fun to be had in that. But yeah, just haven't been back to it for a while. So I didn't want to get into it.
There's so many games this year. It's insane.
I think it's been a genuinely great 6 months. Like, I don't know when I've last been sat here at the midpoint with Zelda is in another class.
Yeah.
But there's so much in that like tier just below that for me that it's just awesome. Like,
but what are you looking forward to for the next 6 months?
Well, I was just going
to
ask you, like, is there anything that's coming out in the next 6 months that we know about that you think, I mean, look, what from the last 6 months is that your absolute standouts? Mine's Zelda. Colm, what would you say?
Probably Edith Finch, I think. Yeah. Or maybe Nier Automata. There's no pure standout.
I would say, because I've put so much into Zelda, like properly, like 125 hours mm-hmm. or so. Like, and there's a reason for that. You know, you've got to think there's a reason to keep coming back to it long after that kind of coverage cycle has ended. And the portability helps. But Edith Finch for me would be right up there as well. That really surprised me. And I would encourage anyone with 3 hours in their afternoon.
It's a Sunday afternoon draw. It's
an amazing game. Sam?
Zelda and Horizon, I think.
Zelda and Horizon.
And a little bit of Finchy.
And a little Finch. Yeah, Horizon is right there as well. Is there anything in the next 6 months that we know about, maybe Uncharted, but probably more likely the Marios of this world that's coming out that you think might dislodge what your favourite of the year is so far?
For me, Wolfenstein, probably.
Wolfenstein is coming out the same day as Mario Odyssey.
That is.
And the same day as Assassin's Creed.
Day.
Which is October 27th.
Which one's going to get delayed? Let's put our bets
which
on now.
Which is going to get delayed? Unfortunately, out of all of them, it would probably be New Colossus, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I'm... That's...
Not because it's not ready, but because like, whoa, we're not going to get out of the way.
Because
that,
like, do you take on Mario and Assassin's Creed? I'm not sure if you do.
Again, it's not a sandwich you want to be the filling
for. Post E3, what games were people talking about? Mario.
And Wolfenstein.
And Wolfenstein. And going back to, I picked up The New Order like 2 years ago. Like, not when it first came out, a little bit after that. Only just started playing it a few weeks ago. I'm like, shit, why did I sit on this? This is awesome.
I remember
like one of my favourite shooters I've ever played.
I remember when it came out and it was one of those situations where I had to be outright told by someone that like, no, play this game. Yeah. Fucking sit down and give it a few hours and see if you enjoy it. You will, and then you'll want to play the entirety. I adore The New Order.
It's still in my PS4 now. Like, so when I turn it on, I'm like, I'm going to play half an hour of that.
Yeah.
Like between finish, if I'm working at home, like I finish work, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock or something. Kids, like, go see the kids, good night. Come back downstairs. I'm thinking 9 o'clock, cut off point. I'm going to sit and chill out and watch TV with the wife. But I'll just try and get some of that in there. That's what I'm doing now. So. Which usually means playing. She's like, I want to watch Poldark. Have you seen Poldark?
Are you not a fan?
Shit, that is.
Not a fan.
That and the to be fair, The Handmaid's Tale is really good, but God, that's bleak. You been watching that?
No, I need to watch it.
Sunday evenings,
so much TV as well.
Sunday evenings. It's like, hey, you got work tomorrow. Do you want to feel more depressed? Here's The Handmaid's Tale. Christ, it's bleak. It's really good, but it's so bleak. Where can people find my lovely guests on the internet, on the Twitter or anything, if they want to follow you?
You can follow me at Colm_O'Hearn, which I feel like I should spell. So it's Colm underscore, which is just a little line. A-H-E-R-N. Thank you.
Or at, where can people find your words?
Or
your face.
You can find my words in my face on videogamer.com. And if I could be so bold to promote the other things that I do as well.
Oh, well, you're here now.
So yeah, here we go.
Whilst we are, it's not ongoing at the minute because the season is over. I do a football podcast called The Football Huddle that you can find on thefootballhuddle.com. And also, I do a food podcast.
Really?
Yes, where we rank all the foods
are
that
you,
there
are
have ever been.
Are you trying to be like a one-man vice operation?
That's 100%.
We've got sports. We've got food.
I'm making really hungry now.
I did an interview with sports today, actually. About Southampton, because I'm a Southampton fan. Yeah. Vice Sports interviewed me about Southampton.
Really?
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Well, about the departure of Claude Puel?
But just about how the club is run in general. So, really? Hey, listeners, look out for that on Vice Sports UK, I guess. I don't know.
There you go.
It's good site. Good football coverage.
On footballs.
Sam, you're on the Twitter as well.
I'm on the Twitters. I'm Apache Rose 3. So, yeah.
What's that a reference to?
You rib me every time for this. Red Hot Chili Peppers back in the day.
It's a reference to... There is no worse band, right?
There's no worse band.
Okay.
But like way back in the day, they were really good.
They were never really good,
Sam.
Yes,
they were. No. They're still in my top three.
I'm with you, Sam. I'm with you.
Yes.
I really like them.
You're never coming on this.
Like the era
this is my third
of
time, guys.
Californication, by the way,
yes.
Era, I was like well on board.
Look,
now not so much.
I bought
but,
Blood Sugar Sex Magic when I was a little tiny boy. Mm-hmm. Well, a little 11 or 12 year old boy. Because we all had it. And I liked Aeroplane when that came out, you know, Pleasure Spike with Pain,
got
It's
some
My
good
Aeroplane.
Songs. Like,
that's when Navarro was in the band for that brief period, you know, because of all the drugs and the other people and stuff. But yeah, no, terrible band. So you should be ashamed, Sam.
I'm really not though, so it's okay. Although I do get a lot of like Native American people tweeting me and I feel really bad that I should change it, but I've got the blue tick now, so I'm stuck.
No going back once you verified. I hear that's the problem with like, you know, all those kind of crazy right wingers. Like they want to change their ways, but they're verified now. Like Katie Hopkins is like, I don't really have to keep this blue tick.
She totally does.
I've got to keep it up. If only she would fall down a very deep hole.
Long walk of a short pin.
Fandom as well.
Yeah, fandom.com. We have videos with my face in them also, which is terrifying.
And
do that, please.
Do all that. But also come to Waypoint just to speak over you.
No, go ahead. I mean, yours
do
is
that,
better.
Because,
so.
You know, you are listening to the Waypoint UK podcast, which is fortnightly. So the next one will be live on this internet of ours on July 13th. You can come to the site itself at waypoint.vice.com where we put all of our good stuff. That's all the podcasts, all the video. I just hit the microphone. Apologies. We're on Facebook at Waypoint Vice. We're on Twitter at Waypoint. Listen to our other podcasts. Watch our stuff on YouTube. Unfortunately, my face is on that now.
Woo, your face.
Doing some. Just this week, you will have seen me, if you're that unfortunate, talking about Bayonetta 2.
I watched that. It was very good.
You haven't because it's not on the internet.
Oh.
Yet.
What is that?
Remember, I did what I remember me the other day.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
I saw your little face.
Sure, that was the one.
I mean, to be honest, are both video games. Yeah. I can understand the confusion.
I'm very tired. I'm so sorry.
On that bombshell, Sam's never coming back. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.